5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. How are we doing, hooligans? Is it Wednesday? It's Wednesday. Wednesday's the day that comes after Tuesday. Glad you could be with us here on this wonderful Wednesday afternoon. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Get at us on the text line. Always love when we get the hooligans involved. It's a great time. We're pumped up. We're getting him on right now. Colfax is doing the work. We're going to get star tight end for the Colorado State Rams, Trey McBride, on the show. My goodness. he's a delight to watch. Rams fans, you're spoiled rotten by this guy. Each and every week, another monster game by him. Last week, again, a huge win against Toledo, 22-6. Trey McBride. Hey, Trey, thank you, man, so much for being on the show. It's a thrill for us to get you on the program.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Another monster game, and congratulations, by the way. This was just such a huge win for you guys, beating Toledo down on the road, 22-6. I mean, there was no doubt you guys were going. There was a moment in the beginning of the third quarter when I knew CSU was going to win this thing. You are truck-sticking guys, you're hurdling guys, and I'm like, okay, CSU's winning this game, and that was a hell of a play by you.
Yeah, it was a great play. You know, Coach had a good call, and it worked out to where I was able to get open and have a couple yards after contact and stuff. So it worked out good for us, and that was kind of a big play to get some momentum going for the offense.
Man, that is just that yards after contact, after catch, that yak. I mean, you are constantly churning those legs. I know when I talked to you in the offseason, I asked, hey, what's more fun for you, catching a pass, catching a touchdown pass, or blocking guys? And you said, man, I love running people over. I just love blocking dudes.
Yeah, no, that's one of the best parts, you know, is I think, you know, what separates me is, you know, I'm able to block in line. You know, a lot of people aren't able to do that. So it's very neat and cool, and the coaches put me in a great position to, you know, be successful.
Now, 9 receptions, 109 yards for you against Toledo. Trey, I was going to ask you, are you finding it difficult? Teams, again, putting you on their radar. You are blown up when it talks about, you know, film study. It's this guy, Trey McBride. We got to find a way to stop him. Yet you're still churning out monster games like we saw against Toledo. What are you seeing out there? Are you seeing teams, you know, really pay attention to you nonstop? And how are you able to break through?
You know, I think, obviously, teams are doing things to do that. But at the end of the day, you know, this offensive staff and coaches have done a great job of getting me in position to be successful. They're, you know, moving me around. They're, you know, making sure I'm able to get open. So they're doing a great job. And then, you know, when the play comes to me, I just got to be successful and be able to make the play when it comes to me. So that's kind of the role I've taken this year, and it's been working out so far.
I think one of my favorite things to watch in football, though, is when a defense knows that a guy like you is going to be heavily involved in the offense, he's going to get his catches, he's going to get those yards, they know it's coming, yet they just can't stop it. And I think that's kind of the game within the game. You know, like you said, the coaching staff's putting you in the right position, you're getting yourself in the right position, but it's what you do after you catch that football. I mean, it's the timing's perfect. You're looking upfield, and you're making moves, you're running guys over with the ball.
Yeah, it's been great. Like I said, the coaches have just done a great job with, you know, making sure I'm in the best possible position, you know, moving me around, trying to get me in one-on-one matchups that they're confident that I can win in. So it's been great, and I'm very excited for this week. We get a great opportunity against a really good football team.
Yeah, a very good football team. Like you said, you got Iowa coming up this weekend. Well, Toledo, I mean, that's a team, of course, that almost beat Notre Dame 2 weeks ago. We talked about that. And what was that like for you guys going down there? Knowing, okay, 0-2 start, first couple of games didn't go the way we wanted to as a team. But we can go on the road, beat a team like Toledo, and we can quickly change that narrative around.
Yeah, no doubt. We knew exactly, you know, what Toledo was, what they were about. They're a really good football team. They're explosive. Their defense is physical. So we knew exactly what we were getting ourselves into going into that game. And I think, you know, we came out firing. We came out ready to go. And we had a little success early on, and it worked out great for us.
We're talking to Colorado State Rams tight end Trey McBride. McBride was named the Reese's Senior Bowl Offensive Player of the Week with that 9 catches, 109-yard performance. Man, it's just every single week. It's just award after award for you. I know it's those are special to you, but I know you're about this team and you're about Colorado State. So many Rams fans just rejoice knowing you were sticking with this program. It's just a delight to watch you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I'm honored to play for the Green Gold. I love Fort Collins and everything that, you know, CSU is about. So it's a win-win for everybody.
All right, when you look forward at this game, I mean, you know it. You look at the same things we look at when you look at Iowa. Iowa's thinking playoffs this year. So every game to them is a must-win because one blemish could mean no playoffs. So they're not overlooking this game at all. They're taking this Rams team seriously coming in. What's that like for you? What's the talk around the locker room about, hey, this is the ultimate test here, man. If we can go down and get some punches in the mouth, who the heck knows? What's that like for you guys as a team?
You know, it's awesome. This is a great opportunity. You know, Iowa's in, you know, year in, year out, one of the great, you know, good teams in the country. They do a lot of good things. They're tough, they're physical, you know, everything that we're about. So it's really who's going to be the tougher team. They're very beatable, and I just think it's a great opportunity for the CSU Rams to go in there with no pressure on our backs, you know. Just go in there and play free and be successful against a really good Iowa team.
Well, Trey, I know you have big goals as well, and I know a lot of folks. I won't get too deep in the weeds here with you, but NFL, all that stuff. I mean, you're the best tight end in the country. Do you look at this game and say, I'm ready to see, you know, because we know what you can do. We know, but you're also, you know, going up against an Iowa team. Personally for you, are you like, man, I am so ready for this challenge. It's a different challenge going up against a team that's probably a playoff team, and you get to go out there and show everybody, show America even more so what you can do.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, Iowa, like I said, they're a really good football team. They're tough. They're physical. And, you know, I want to do, I just want to go against the best of the best. That's kind of what I like doing. I like comparing to see, you know, where I stand up against other teams, other conferences and stuff. So, you know, we got to play an SEC team. We got to play a MAC team. We got to play a really good FCS team. So why not play, you know, one of the better Big Ten teams and see what I can do against those guys? So it's really exciting. It's a great opportunity for, you know, Fort Collins and CSU to go into Iowa and, you know, get a win against a really good football team.
What's it like for you, man? I mean, it's crazy to me. A Colorado guy, Colorado State guy, going up against these big-time teams and these big-time defenses, knowing that I'm better than those guys. I mean, seriously, does that, like, not give you goosebumps once in a while?
You know, it's really just, I think in all reality, I think it's scheme. You know, the coaches have just put me in a great position to be open and have success. And, you know, I really credit those guys because, like, I mean, it's a team game. There's a lot of things that can happen in a game. But ultimately, I can't do my job, you know, if the other 10 guys don't do their job. So I really thank those guys for, you know, putting me in a good position to, you know, be successful and things like that. You know, I'd do the same for them. But it's just, it's really, you know, a lot of scheme and got coaches getting me open, players doing jobs to get me open. So it's all working out, and hopefully we can have some success this weekend as well.
What's your relationship like with your quarterback, Todd Senteo? Obviously, he's looking to get in his groove. He was 11 for 27, 110 yards. All of those pretty much came with a couple of tosses to you. But what's that like? Because I know you guys were working hard well before camp started, just trying to get on the same page.
Yeah, you know, obviously Todd came in. We knew exactly we had to get on schedule. We had to get, you know, some rhythm together, and that's exactly what we did. You know, he's a good guy, a true, you know, born leader. Guy is tough, physical, loves the game of football, and a guy that, you know, I'm happy I play for. So he's a great competitor and a guy that, you know, we hang out outside of football. He's a guy that I enjoy being around, and you know, I'm excited to play another game with Todd.
We're talking to Colorado State Rams tight end Trey McBride, who had 9 receptions, 109 yards last week against Toledo. You told us in the offseason, and I love this, I think you were asked, hey, what could you work on? What are you wanting to work on before that next level approaches, before draft, before all of that stuff? I loved your answer, Trey, and I was hoping you'd kind of elaborate. You talked about, hey, I want to study film. I want to know what every offensive player's position is. I want to know what they're thinking, what they're seeing. And I just think that that's such an admirable thing because there's so many players that are like, I gotta focus on this 100%. But if you can know what everybody else is thinking and doing, I mean, that could make you even more of a dangerous weapon.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's what's important. You know, I want guys, you know, being the captain of the offense, I want guys to lean on me for, you know, answers. If they're not sure what they're doing or who they're blocking or what route they're running, you know, I want them to come up to me and ask me. And that's kind of, you know, the role I've kind of taken is I know everything. You know, I know what the quarterback's reads are. I know who he's throwing to in man versus zone or different coverages. So that's kind of what, you know, makes me successful is because I know exactly when I'm getting the ball, when I'm not getting the ball, you know, things to do, you know. So it's just it's a great opportunity for me to, you know, elaborate and expand my knowledge of football and ultimately, hopefully it'll make me a better football player.
Yeah, I think it's outstanding, man. And again, I love all of your answers, too. I love when you're talking about blocking and, you know, I'm taking another grown man and I'm driving him across the field. Mentally, in your mind, do you just kind of get, and I don't want to say lost as a negative thing, but do you just kind of, when you're blocking a guy, are you just in your own world? You're just taking this guy clear across the field where it's going to take a ref to come over and say, hey, dude, play's been over for a little bit.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, I get carried away and things like that. But ultimately, I'm just trying to get my job done and be, you know, the best at my job that I can possibly be on that certain play. So if that's displacing my guy, you know, a few yards, that's what I'm going to do. So just trying to be as good and detailed as I can possibly be in my craft.
Trey, are there tight ends, you know, as you were growing up, you know, in high school football and just sports in general, were there tight ends that you looked at and said, or players you looked at and said, hey, I want to kind of model my game around?
Obviously, you know, there's a lot of good tight ends in the league right now. You know, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, you know, there's a lot of really good tight ends right now that I still watch. But growing up my whole life, you know, Joel Dreesen was a guy that I truly looked up to, a guy that everyone from Fort Morgan wanted to be like, and fortunately enough, I played the same position as him, and luckily, you know, these past couple of years, I've really got to know Joel, and he's someone that I look up to a lot and really, you know, idolize because he's someone that, you know, came from the same roots as I did, so a guy that I really admire and appreciate everything he does.
Yeah, it's crazy. Fort Morgan just churning tight ends out, man. I mean, that's a cool thing, too. And I know that means something to you. And it's part of why you really just are honored to be a Colorado State Ram is to continue to represent that. And, like, that relationship right there and your past and kind of the same upbringing as far as location, I know that's something that's really special to you.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm very fortunate, and you know, coming from Northeast Colorado, it's very special to play here at Colorado State for my home state.
Now, Trey, we're looking forward to it, man. It's an absolute pleasure to watch you on the field, and like you said, it's a huge test coming up this weekend against Iowa, and we'll be here for it, man. We'll be rooting for you guys.
Yeah, thank you very much, and I'm excited to go out and play a really good Iowa team.
All right, man. Hey, good luck, and let's do this again. We'd love to get you back on the program soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and go Rams.
All right, man. That's Trey McBride, the star tight end for the Colorado State Rams. Just keeps doing it, man. Look at these numbers for him overall at the beginning of the season. 30 receptions, 339 yards, and a touchdown. And listen, this offense, and we're not going to get into that with Trey, but this offense going forward, they got to figure out if a guy like Dante Wright's not going to go, and again, college football is very difficult to figure out who's injured, how injured, what's the situation going forward. But Trey was the offense as far as the passing attack. The running game was there, which is going to help. If they can keep that going, David Bailey had the 30 carries for 132 yards. Yeah, you're going to need more of that. But at the end of the day, you're looking at Trey McBride. There were 11 receptions. 11 receptions against Toledo. Trey had 9 of them. There were 110 passing yards against Toledo. Trey had 109 of them. So you've got to be able to listen. It's all good for him. This guy's, and I'm not going to ask him where he thinks he's going to get picked and all that. We'll save that for the end of the season. He's a first rounder, Colbs. That guy we just talked to is a first round draft pick in the NFL. I will be absolutely shocked if he's not drafted in the first round. I mean, he is just a monster. Chris says, about time you brought in a fellow Mustang. So you said, Chris, you're a Fort Morgan guy, is that right? There's still time for Cheyenne Wells. I don't know. I don't know if there's any Cheyenne Wells people getting drafted. I don't know if that's ever. I mean, I'm still waiting on my call, Colbs. I, you know, haven't made it there yet. Still waiting, but That dude's, and you know what? He's a coach's dream, isn't he? Every time I'm like, hey, how do you impose your will on these guys? And he's like, yeah, the coaches put me in the right position and all that stuff. That's what NFL coaches want to hear. This play, I'm looking at it right now. I've just been watching it over and over again. It's 11 minutes left in the third quarter. It's a tie ball game, 3-3. CSU's got the ball. Where are they? They're on their, are they on their own 30? I'm trying to figure that out. I just watched this all day. They're on their own 35. 2-yard pass, Trey McBride. He gets the first down, stiff arms a guy, hurdles a guy, finally falls down 5 yards out of bounds. I mean, seriously, this is a 2-yard pass. They need a 10. Knocks that guy down. Another stiff arm. Knocks that guy down. Just brings him down. Oh, hurdles the cornerback. He hurdles the cornerback, Colbs. I could watch this play all day. I'm seriously just rewinding and watching. Here's the snap shotgun. It's a screen kind of pass to McBride. But he breaks two tackles and hurdles the corner for, like, a 20-yard gain. It's just, the guy's legit. He's so much fun to watch. I think it was a 30-yard gain. This tight end, but when scouts are watching that right now going, holy crap. He's a real deal. So if he falls to like the 20s and the Broncos are a playoff team, would he make sense with Denver? Boy, wouldn't that be fun. All right, we're going to take a short break. Busy one coming up today. We will talk, our Power to Play Sports poll question. Here you go, Eastside Chris. I hope you voted. Team Manning or Team Elway? When it comes to, you know, guys potentially becoming an owner or an ownership group or investing or what have you, who are you voting for? I'm really curious to see how this one ends up. Manning or Elway? Who would you rather have involved in future investment / ownership of the Denver Broncos? Team Elway or Team Manning? 77% of the Hooligans say, do you have a guess, Colfax? 77% leaning one way.
Gotta be Manning.
It's all Manning, man.
Gotta be.
It's all Manning. I'm a little shocked that it's not closer than that. So go to theholeshow.com. Okay, now it's 70% Manning. 70-30. John, is it the age? Is it Elway's favor? He's lost a little favor the last couple of years because of his draft picks and all that stuff? Or is it because Monday Night Football jumped 138% on the Manning broadcast? That's the power of Manning. He can elevate a lot of things. And could he do that with more attention to the Broncos? I had a texter yesterday that said that Elway's name means nothing nationally. That is ridiculous, first off. That basically said, if this was a discussion anywhere else, Elway or Manning, it'd be Manning hands down. I don't know about that. I think people like to forget about the Joe Montanas and the John Elways and the Steve Youngs and just how what they did for the sport of football. What John Elway did for the sport of football. Yeah, Manning's amazing. He's a media dream as well. But I'm a little shocked, 70-30. So go vote at theholeshow.com. We'll talk about that more on the other side. 23 minutes after the hour. Shout out to No Limit Collectibles. There's no limit to what you can collect, man. You can buy, sell, trade. Love these guys. Nugget season's coming up. I know they got some Nikola Jokic stuff in. Bronco season's rock and roll. They got a lot of Bronco stuff. Check them out. I got some exciting news coming up in October to tell you about, too. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Whole Show weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kevin Lytle, your Colorado State Athletics beat reporter for the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Sometimes I just try to break the rules, Colts. Everybody knows, well, no, maybe not. Pulling back the curtain here. Before Colfax turns the microphone on and I can start yammering again, he holds up his finger, not that finger, but a finger, and then points at me. And that's when I know we got a hot mic in here.
Correct.
And sometimes I just assume you... I trust Colfax with my life. I know that he's going to shut that mic off as soon as I out-cue. It's his job to decipher what that out-cue is and know that I'm for sure done talking. Because if he leaves it on and thinking I'm going to say more, but I'm actually thinking I'm off the air, and I start saying some really nice things about Dixon, which off the air sometimes I do, which is like rated R. You know, people don't want to hear me talk nicely about Dixon, the arch nemesis of the show. But sometimes, before Colb's points, I won't even look at him. I get to jamming out over here, and then I guess I start talking, and then I broke the rule. I just did that this time.
And no one heard it.
And nobody heard it. We could have got away from it, but I wanted to let people know.
It's worth knowing.
I get a little excited in here sometimes.
It would have been a really good intro, but we missed it.
Yeah, it really would have
been. Really exciting.
Oh, man. First Advantage text line is 800-888. My gosh. 888-880-0043. Noob, it's Manning because a lot of these guys probably didn't see Elway play. I don't know. How young is our listener base? I don't know. How young are you guys? Give me your ages. Just text me your ages. We can figure that out. Eastside Chris, did Chief Dixon get any takers? No. No. Dixon. Oh, boy. What do you got for me here? Whatever team Manning ends up being a part of will have an immediate positive change in culture from top to bottom. Not sure you can say that with confidence about Elway. Got to put your poster in my room fandom thoughts about Elway to the side and think about what would really... Who's to say I don't have a poster of Manning as well? Poster of both of them. Duh. Best of both worlds, my friend. You got to think about what's really best for the organization. I had to vote Elway because as a Chiefs fan, I would hate to see Manning become involved in any way, shape, or form with the Broncos. He is a game changer top to bottom. I've seen the movie with Elway. He doesn't move the needle. I guess Super Bowls don't do anything for you? Oh, that's because he brought Manning in. Well, how did he bring Manning in? How did Elway convince Manning of all of the teams that Manning could have gone to? How was it John Elway convinced arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks in the world to come to Denver? Boy, if I'm if I'm accepting investors, I'm thinking that was a pretty slick move, man. Pretty nice job you did there. Sometimes that's all it takes. You hire one great person, changes the world, changes the organization, changes your business, whatever. I hired Colfax. Look what has happened with this show. We are nationally known worldwide. We have listeners in China, I think. Do they have internet there?
Questionable. At least South Korea. We know South Korea.
Okay, we know South Korea. I mean, come on. Sometimes that's all it takes. I mean, what are we talking about? Elway doesn't move the needle. There was half of his tenure was winning divisions, winning the AFC, winning a Super Bowl, going to two. I mean, what John Elway accomplished in his career as VP, president, general manager, is more so than a gigantic chunk of executives have ever accomplished. He went to two Super Bowls. He won two AFC titles, two AFC championships, five AFC West titles. He also understood that he was not the guy anymore. That could, the drafting had ran its course, although you're seeing a lot of his guys be the guys on this team right now. Justin Simmons, Cortland Sutton, Von Miller, Dalton Reisner, Garrett Bowles. A lot of guys that, K.J. Hamler, Noah Fant. Go to the defensive side. He was responsible for Alexander Johnson. Kareem Jackson, although George Payton re-signed Kareem Jackson. Bryce Callahan. So all this crap we want to give him about his draft picks not working out, if the Broncos get to the playoffs, it's going to be a collaboration of some of George Payton's guys, Patrick Surtain, Teddy Bridgewater, Javonte Williams, Fuller, Darby, when Darby comes back. Yeah, sure, I get that. But a lot of these guys are John Elway's guys out there. And I do think they're a playoff team. Manning wants to make a difference and make changes. Elway just wants another hobby when he's not golfing. Listen, the only thing I'll say about that is that maybe that's why some of you are voting that way, is because Manning's younger, more ambition, than because Elway elevated himself, and then he was kind of like, I got to bump in position title or whatever, but he wanted to spend more time with his family. And so, you know, maybe that's an idea. But at the end of the day, I like what Zach told us. He's like, it's probably not going to come down to those two. You're probably going to get some billionaire just come in, and it's a clean-cut thing. Because the NFL, the Broncos, they don't necessarily want to have a bunch. I mean, you're always going to have a board. You're always going to have other investors. But you want to have, like, a clear guy. And that's going to be the guy that puts up the majority of the billions. What's it going to be worth? Is it $4 billion? Is that what it is? Six? So, I mean, that's ultimately where you're going to – it's all great to talk about this, but – I don't even know if it's going to come down to it. But if it were, who'd you vote for? It's kind of just a fun side vote anyway, just to see who has more clout in Denver now, Peyton Manning or John Elway, and it appears that Peyton Manning does. We're going to talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. The Buffs, whoo, they got some issues on the offensive side of the football. We'll talk to Mark about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline is the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my friend, this game over the weekend, boy, that was interesting. It felt like it was 13-0 for 8 years, and suddenly something happened with Minnesota. They end up winning this thing 30-0. I couldn't believe the final score.
Well, interesting is a nice way of putting it. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was that was some heavy lifting on Saturday, broadcasting a game like that.
Yeah,
and,
I was listening to you.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, Brady. I mean, I said this late in the broadcast. I didn't see that coming. I did not see it. I didn't. There was nothing that indicated that. Now, was I totally surprised the Buffs' offense was not spectacular? No, I wasn't surprised by that. We've seen that through 2 weeks. The offense has been a work in progress, let's put it that way. What I didn't see was having minus 19 yards rushing in that ballgame, having single-digit yardage at halftime. That's what I didn't see. Now, what happens in a ballgame like that, when your offense is not doing its job, and then you hang a defense out, and you talked about it being 13-0, and the fact that late with, like a minute left in the third quarter, it was still 13-0 is remarkable. The fact that Colorado was still in that ballgame that late in the game and having done zero on the offensive side, which shows you how well that defense is playing. I got messages after the game, you know, ripping on the defense. And you know the way it works. When a team gets beat like that, everyone stinks. I mean, the offense stinks, the defense stinks, the announcers stink, everybody stinks. I responded to the folks, just said, no, that's not a fair assessment. That defense was on the field on a very hot day, almost 41 minutes of that ball game, and kept that game where it was, and then finally into the fourth quarter, you know, finally I gave up some plays and ended up giving up 30 points and 441 yards. So I'm not pointing a finger at that defense. Now coaches will, you know, they'll play it with their team. Hey, both got to be better. No, 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 no. We understand that. But if the offense for Colorado went out in that ball game and just was moderately good, well, let's say they had 250 yards of offense and ran for 80 yards and, you know, something like that, Colorado's got a chance to win that ballgame, but that defense doesn't get exhausted. Remember the play where they forced a three and out deep in Arizona's, or rather Minnesota's end of the field, and then there's a punt and a muff punt, and the defense is off the field for 90 seconds, whatever it was, and to come right back out there? You can't do that to a defense and not expect them to eventually give, especially in today's day and age, the way college football and pro football is played, for that matter. It's an offensive game. And so, stunned by all of it, didn't see it coming, and obviously, just like the rest of Buff Nation out there, a very disappointing Saturday.
Mark, I've always thought this about defenses. Yeah, I mean, 30 points, the yardage at the end of the day, but at some point, there's a breaking point. And,
sure.
And when your offense is just sputtering and they can't get anything done, and you're out there and it's over and over, it's a mental thing, it's a physical thing. You're tired. And I know that's not really an excuse these guys will ever bring up, but it's true. Like you said, it's hot, but it's a mental thing too. It's like, man, so we just keep doing it. We keep doing it and nothing's working. So I'm with you. I think at some point there's finally the floodgates just open and you can't hold it back anymore because you're just on the field too much.
Well, what happens is eventually other aspects of the team start going, come on, man. I mean, it just happens. It's natural. Coach Barnett talked about that in our broadcast, that, you know, at some point in time, You know, if a ball's not coming a receiver's way, he's going to kind of go, geez, man, I was open. You know, get me the ball kind of thing. You know, defense is going to start going to the offense. I mean, we saw that with the Broncos a few years ago. Their offense was so inept, and there was becoming an issue with the locker room. It's human nature. Hey, we're a team, but I need a little help here, fellas. You gotta burn some clock. You gotta score a couple of points. We can't do it all on this side. And so those things are natural human aspects of all of us that we start to, those frustrations we start to have at different times, right? We've all worked with somebody who wasn't holding up his or her end of the bargain, and at some point you're like, hey, dude, come on, a little help here, you know, be nice. You don't have to, you know, maybe not playing at my level, but you got to give me something here. And so that's just human nature, I think. And so, you know, that's one thing this team, and Gary talked about it in our broadcast, you got to guard against if you're a coach. And that's something they need to address, because I think I said it to you last week, you don't want to waste this defense, because this defense is pretty darn good. Fourth quarter notwithstanding last week, it's still pretty darn good. The unit can play, and I think if they're not carrying the lion's share of the snaps during a ball game, if it is close to 50-50, that defense, I think, is going to give you a chance.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. So let's shift it back, though. Let's look over at the offensive side of the ball. When you have an outing like this, and yeah, 30 points, but like we said, it fizzled finally for this defense at the end. Brendan Lewis, 8 for 16, 55 yards. Had a QBR of 3. I mean, that's when you have to have those big discussions about, okay, what does this look like? I know Carl Durrell had mentioned I need to put more focus back onto the offensive side. So what are we seeing here, Mark? Jobs changing around, quarterback situation. What can you tell us?
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting on Monday, and obviously Carl at his press conference was asked about that thing and basically said there's no changes coming. Now, he did and maybe that's just a public statement, but he did indicate that Drew Carter was going to get some more snaps in practice. When you watch those two young men, and I'm not being overly critical of him, because I do think he's a talented young man, but there's a mental hiccup going on there where he's not seeing things right now. And sometimes with young quarterbacks, and I've talked not only with Gary about this, but I've talked with other coaching buddies of mine that I kind of tap into every once in a while, and guys have said the same thing to me. There comes a time when sometimes you need to take the player and pull him out and let him breathe, right? And let him get a different perspective on things, and then you run him back out there at some point. He's not seeing things right now, and he's having a tough time identifying things. You know, there was a number of times during the game where I'd say snap to Lewis, drops back, got plenty of time, looking. Now here comes the pressure, right? Well, you can't take forever. The offensive line can't hold up forever. Those secondary guys can't hold up. You've got to be able to make a decision, and that's not happening right now. And then, you know, we talked about this the last couple of weeks. Listen, the defensive game plan against Colorado is pretty simple. We're not going to let you run. You've got a pretty solid offensive line. You've got very good running backs. You've got the offensive player of the year from last year in the Pac-12. We are not going to let you do that. And we're going to force you to throw the football, and until you can do that, we don't care. And so, I mean, this game, I guarantee you that's what Arizona State's going to do on Saturday night down in Tempe, Arizona. So when Drew Carter came in, you saw a little bit of the ball was coming out quickly. Now, I don't think – do you have to make a total change? I don't know. Can you play both guys? You certainly could do that. But you've got to do something that is going to allow your offense to get a little bit of rhythm out there, whatever that looks like. And if it's going with Drew Carter, and I know he's very green, he's a true freshman, I understand that. You know, he's been practicing with the basketball team, by the way, and I was talking with some of the coaches over there this week. They said, you know, he's got a little swag to him now. I mean, he's got a little something going there, so he's got confidence. And you know, as a freshman, that can get shaken. But I think you got to at least give him a chance and maybe play both guys.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see how this does work. Do we see a lot more Drew Carter? Do we see him start potentially? I mean, again, Mark, those games with Brendan, it's you root for the guy for sure, and you hear all the good things about it in the off season. But with those kind of numbers at the end of the day, whew, that's how you can lose a job, right?
Hey, we get to a point, and when I always talk to people and coach them about public speaking, I always tell them, you know, people get up and are very nervous about public speaking because, oh, what are people going to think of me? Have you ever been at an event where you see somebody and they're really struggling and everyone in the room is uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, Brady, you can do it, man. I mean, you're just almost cheering for him. That's the way I feel with Brendan right now, okay? I feel like CU fans, you know, they're fine. There are those that are going to, you know, dog custom and all those kind of things. That's not what I'm talking about. I think anybody who's a decent human being, you watch Brendan Lewis, you're like, holy cow, young man, come on. You want him to be able to see it and make the throw, okay? And I just think that's why you kind of feel for him right now. Maybe it's best if he does get a breather a little bit to kind of step back and understand and wait, study a little bit more and take some more reps and maybe things slow down a little bit and you get back out there. But, yeah, who knows what's going to happen. Carl's been very tight-lipped about that. His indications on Monday that Brendan was going to start and Drew may get some snaps, and maybe that's the case. So you just want guys to come out there and have the ability to make plays like they have their entire careers. But when you step up to a different level, and you're the starting guy, everything changes, right? They always say in coaching and basketball, that 18-inch move from the assistant seat to the head coach's seat is the longest 18 inches in the world, right? Because the pressure's on you now. That's what happens with the quarterback when they get out there. All that pressure is finally on you, and sometimes it can be overwhelming for a young player.
Well, Mark, it'll be interesting to see what this Buffs team can do against Arizona State. Arizona, they lost to BYU last week. BYU is a pretty darn good football team.
Yep.
But 2-1 coming into this one. So this will be a battle, no doubt about it. So it'll be interesting to see what the quarterback situation looks like.
Yeah, I think that's what we're waiting on. And Carl's talked about, being more involved on the offensive side. This week, and I know he's talked with the team about that, and getting himself in there and getting as creative as you possibly can. But yeah, there's got to be some movement there because, when you end up with minus 19 rushing yards and double digits and total offense, that just ain't gonna. I don't care if you've got the defense of the 85 Bears out there, that ain't gonna cut it, and you're not gonna win many ball games, and you can't exist that way because there's too much pressure on one side of the ball.
Mark, give us some details as far as listening. I was listening to you on Saturday, loved it, and like you said, I could feel it. Yeah, heavy lifting for sure. Tough one to get through, but always a pleasure to listen to you, my friend.
Well, this weekend it's a late one. You better get yourself a nap in because it kicks off at 8:30 Mountain Time. We're going to hit the air on the Colorado Football Network and all the various ways in SiriusXM and the Varsity Network app and all the different ways you can get that in Denver on AM 6:30. But, 6:30 pregame Mountain Time is when we'll get things underway. It'll kick it off down in Tempe where I understand, by the way, Gary looked this up. I think it's like a high of 107 on Saturday, and by kickoff at 8:30, it's supposed to be like 101.
Oh,
so at least
yeah.
It's cooling off.
Yeah, it's cooling. I mean, it's like you're it's like you're in Alaska at that point.
Don't so you dare tell me it's a dry heat, otherwise I'll smack you next time I see you.
Mark, appreciate you, man. Good luck. I don't know. I feel like we're going to have a change. So far, every single week with our local teams, here's something the complete opposite happens that I predict.
Right.
So I'm going to predict the Buffs to struggle, and then good things are going to happen. I think that's my new calling. So we'll see what happens.
I hope you're right, and I'm hoping for the best like everybody else in Buff Nation this week.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. 107, 101, man. I mean, hopefully he's going to bring his Eskimo coat. He's going to need a really tight, a lot of fluff. That's going to be tough, hot. Oof, count me out, man. Is it fall yet? Officially fall yesterday, right?
It is, yeah.
Why does it feel like it's still 4,000 degrees outside? Can we fix that?
Does it?
I don't know.
It was like 30 degrees this morning.
Yeah, but it's getting hot. It's getting warmer now.
Is it hot now?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not. You know me. Yeah, it's got to be cold. Got to be really cold. All right, we need to take a break. Wrap up hour number one. Jesse Kurtz coming up later in the second hour. We'll talk Mountain West ownership talk for the Broncos. What does that look like? And we've got a little bit about the Denver Nuggets. They're kind of doing this Zoom media day, like a staggered media day. So we'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Man, time flies. This Wednesday is just absolutely busting right through. So shoot us a text. Get us through this day. I want some Hooligan interaction on the First Advantage text line. 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Power to play sports poll question. All right, if it came down to this, an investment group of Manning and versus Elway, who are you going with? And this has been kind of interesting to me. But Manning is winning this thing by far at this stage. I'm a little shocked. Who's a better businessman? Is it Peyton Manning? Is it John Elway? Manning's definitely more of a celebrity. Doesn't always mean you're the best businessman. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. You're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.